Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to every time.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Timotheus, good morning.
Good morning.
It's kind of fallish out this morning.
Yeah.
Kind of, I guess it was foggy earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
heavy dew.
Kind of fallish, and yet we know the temperature is going to get pretty high again today, isn't it?
Yes, and yeah. The extended forecast,
yes,
now, it changes from here time to time.
Yes, sir.
But the extended forecast is showing like 80-degree highs all the way into next week.
All right. Tony Cavalier said last night it was going to be up to 87, 88 Saturday.
Wow.
That is this Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
Sunday.
Yeah. Well, so, that'll do a lot of sales for the 56th annual Kentucky Apple Festival.
Is this the 56th one?
Yep, I think so. Yep.
Well, let's see. I moved here in 1965, and so that would about 55th or 54th or something like that. I don't remember now.
Yeah,
I remember as I was telling Michael out front as a Ute. Remember that movie with the
the Utes? That sounds like a college football. A Ute.
Well, I was just a mere Ute. I loved it, you know. But after the years go by and you're no longer a Ute,
yeah,
you become more of a hoot.
I'm glad you're saying that. Anyway.
Yeah, come on now.
I'll just keep mine to myself.
So what could folks do if they wanted to talk to us?
They could give us a call at 789-0318, 789-0318. You can also email us, godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. There are all kinds of sound effects going on.
Oh, boy.
You can also check us out on our Facebook page, God's Point of View, and we are live, I want to say live streaming, good, live video, I think.
If I don't use this vocal cord spray, then we'll hear other sounds.
Yeah.
Or the lack thereof.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So folks could also call us, couldn't they, on the cell phone?
On yours?
On,
yeah.
Yes, 367-0137. Feel free to call. I've got the volume down low.
Mm-hmm.
And, or text.
Yeah.
Out of the area, 606-367-0137.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, take the area code off if you're in the area. We'd love to hear from you. We've been on the air now over 5 years, 5 years in March or April, I believe, this year. So we're going into our sixth year.
Wow.
Pretty soon. And a program exists for one reason only, and that's to give God glory. Everything we do, we want to give God the glory for it.
And if we're doing it for some other reason, God forbid.
We don't have any political agenda.
No.
We don't have any financial agenda.
No, not asking for money.
No, not asking for money, and I'm not. You getting paid for this?
No.
Okay.
But I wouldn't turn it. No.
I know you
wouldn't.
I'm
kidding.
I'll give you a little something after a while. And, but we do have an agenda.
Yes.
I said no political agenda, no economic agenda,
but
we
there
do
is
have
an
agenda.
Yeah.
And that is to try to save, help lead people to Christ, save their soul from a devil's hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to say it that way sometimes, because we can get caught up in the advertisements of the day, the headlines of the day.
Mm-hmm.
We can get caught up in talking about our church and how good we are and how much better we want to be, blah, 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 blah,
Bragging on the bride sometimes.
Bragging on the bride. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Yeah. In fact, we're going to talk about some of those things. But mm-hmm. we need to be reminded from time to time that our goal here is to seek and to save the lost.
Keep the main thing.
The main thing.
There you go.
You see, Timotheus, the main thing is to keep the main thing.
The main thing.
There you go. All righty. Well, all eyes, or maybe ears as well, is on the judiciary hearings today.
Yep.
And it's my understanding from an early morning report that the report is in.
Yeah, the FBI evidently had turned in the report either early last night or early this morning.
Yes, and all the members are going to get a copy of that, and some say that Mr. Public will also get a copy of it. But what a time we've had over the last. This time last week, it was just getting started. You know, I mean, it was.
You talk about dividing this nation.
What lessons have we learned from it, Timotheus? What lessons have we learned? Bob Russell's retired pastor in Southeast Christian Church in Louisville. And he had some observations about some things that. That he, in fact,
you wouldn't happen to have those.
As a matter of fact, I've got some of them right here. I've highlighted some of them.
Okay.
And haven't we learned some things about due process? There's a way to do things, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And we've also been reminded of the importance of showing proper respect to women. I still open the door for a woman.
Absolutely.
I give way if she's comes up behind me. I give way. Let her go in first. Open
drops
the door
her keys.
Her.
You bend over and you pick them up for
yes,
her.
Yes. Yes.
We are to honor.
Yes. The Bible talks about when an aged person enters the room that we ought to show respect, and we do that by standing up. A lot of folks don't stand up anymore.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, most folks when they sit down, they're just kind of in a lounge chair. Wherever they are, that's just kind of the way our culture is these days.
Yeah.
I still believe in showing proper respect. An aged person walks in, I get up. People will say, now, oh, you don't have to get up. And I've said that before too. Wait a minute, Timotheus. Every room I go in, people stand up. That's telling me I'm old.
I was getting ready to say, does anybody stand up when you walk in?
So we've learned, we've been reminded of some things. We've also been reminded of determining a testimony that's valid.
Credibility.
Oh, boy. And so that's one of the things this report has shown. There is no corroborating
evidence
that he did any of these things. We've also, I think, been reminded and need to be reminded of absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
There is an absolute truth. And here's another thought. Joel talks about being in the valley of indecision.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to be in the valley of indecision, which is why I say, Lord, what do you want me to do about a particular situation? I'll pray about it for 3 days, and the morning of the third day, because we count any part of a day, and so on the third day, whatever I feel inclined to do about that prayer that I've prayed about for 3 days, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the Lord. I'm putting the fleece out like Gideon did.
Yeah.
So, what have we learned? Three things. Number one, alcohol.
Yeah. I've said that very if you removed the four-letter word beer from this whole situation, it completely changes everything.
Everything has changed.
Yeah.
And especially, when you talk about alcohol, you've got many varieties of it, but distilled liquor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people who want to drink, you know, they'll go back to Jesus in John chapter 2. Now, they don't go to Jesus for anything else, but they go to him for that.
To validate their reasoning.
You can find a verse to justify doing whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I know. I've done it.
You've been there and done that.
In and out of the pulpit. I've done it.
Yeah.
The Arabs perfected the art of liquor brewing. There's a long word. It's a form of the word distill. I can't think of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the
fermentation process.
Well, that's true also. But the alcoholic content. We'll say this, then we'll get this call. The alcoholic content today is so much greater.
Yeah.
Exponentially. There's your $3 word. than what it was in Jesus' day.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Would you care to address what it says about the lottery in the Bible?
God bless your little heart. I'd love to. I'd love to. Let me do that in just a moment so I can do it in a little bit better fashion. All right?
That'll be fine. I'll hang up.
Please listen now. Don't leave us. Keep the radio on.
The radio's on all
day. Amen. Amen. We'll go right to it next. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Bless your heart.
Wants to know about the lottery.
So alcohol. If we just stay away from alcohol, resist the temptation of ingesting alcohol.
And that could apply to some other things as well.
Other things as well, but we're talking specifically about lessons we've learned about this shame. It's a shame what's happened over the last week. Anyway, alcohol. Number two, you see, if I don't drink alcohol, there's a pretty good chance that my children and my grandchildren won't drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say 100% chance.
But a fairly good chance.
Yeah. And there are all kinds of studies that have been done that prove a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
That, for the most part, children who don't see their mom and dad drinking are not going to fool with it. And the third thing about alcohol, I still haven't gotten over. You know, people said the other day, said, well, the Democrats just haven't gotten over President Trump's victory in 2016. And while I think that's true, someone might accuse me of not getting over the wet, dry last election here in Paintsville, in which if Christians had shown up, if Christians had done what Christians should have done, we wouldn't have to deal with liquor on Apple Day. But anyway, that's another sermon for another time. Timotheus and folks, don't support the industry of alcohol. Don't support it in any shape or form.
Yeah.
Here's some pretty good reasons. 2016, 10,497 people died in alcohol-impaired automobile accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, researchers estimate that nearly 2,000 college students die annually in accidents directly related to alcohol abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, over 500,000 students between 18 and 24 have been assaulted by another student who had been drinking. Listen, alcohol consumption leads to depravity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was telling Michael when it came in, Apple Day, I guess it's already started.
Mm-hmm.
Friday and Saturday gets in full swing. I've had to break up fights on my block, my corner out there.
Really?
Where I live. Yeah. Grown men, drunk, picking on little kids who are just having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Now they needed to be talked to and told not to do this or not to do that.
Yeah.
Just like I had to do recently when some little boys was fooling around with the church sign across the street from me. And I don't want them fooling around with a church sign across the street or our church sign.
Absolutely.
And so I said, hey, boys, don't be touching that now. And one of them smarted off and said, okay, Dad. I said, I'm not your dad, but I am going to be sure that you don't destroy anything over there.
Yeah.
And maybe he wasn't about to, but I...
Nip it in the bud.
Nip it in the bud. Somebody has to take a stand.
Yeah.
Alcohol consumption frequently, most of the time, leads to depravity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the Bible says in Proverbs 23, who has woe? Now, you know, I'm not sure what a woe is, but I don't think it's good.
Doesn't sound good.
Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind imagine confusing things. Proverbs 23:29 and through 33. And let me just say, someone out there is listening now and thinking, well, the Bible never condemns alcohol.
Well,
you're absolutely right. The Bible doesn't condemn taking a drink.
But there's a strong warning right there.
But there's a strong warning to stay away from it. So you can't justify your drinking it because the Bible don't condemn taking a drink.
And just this morning on CBS News that we had on the air, there was a report out that how they've always talked about wine will help you know, medical issues and this and that. But
I saw that.
But if you drink, I think it was 4 days, at least 4 days or more a week, it could lessen your lifespan 20 years or something,
yeah.
I think they said.
Let's talk about, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
They said instead of a glass of wine every day, which some have recommended over the,
mm-hmm.
no doubt, those who wanted to drink it.
You got to have an excuse.
They said about three times a week is about all you ought to drink a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't drink wine.
Mm.
I'm a teetotaler. And
bless
my little heart, and I'll not get into why. I've got a lot of reasons. Some of them I just shared with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Now the lady who called about gambling,
the lottery.
I think the words are synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
I think the lottery is gambling.
Yeah,
I think it is government sanctioned gambling.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Now what's the promise of that lottery ticket?
Oh, to get rich.
Oh boy. According to the American Gaming Association,
mm-hmm.
Gambling in the United States is a $240 billion, that's with a B, dollar industry.
Mm-hmm.
It employs 1.7 million people in 40 states. Now, why is gambling popular to both this? Why is buying that lottery ticket? The former director of gaming enforcement of the state of New Jersey told a conference that was meeting on this very subject that the success of Atlantic City was tied to how well it sold its only products. Now, here's his explanation. Quote, that product is not entertainment or recreation or leisure. It's really adrenaline,
mm-hmm.
a biological mm-hmm. substance capable of producing excitement, highs generated usually by anticipation or expectation of a future event, especially when the outcome of that event is in doubt. End of quote.
Mm-hmm.
According to the chief regulator, Timothis, are you listening to me?
Yeah, I'm listening, brother.
You know, I've asked that question over the last 45 years. I don't know how many times.
Are you with me?
Are you there? did you take a trip?
And sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Just to be honest.
And we're not talking about marriage you want either.
No, no.
Maybe we will sometime.
But not now.
According to the chief regulator of the industry, gaming is not only a drug, it is a mind-altering drug.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could be addicted to it.
Of course.
Yeah.
One author called it a controlled substance, and I think he's exactly correct. Psychologists offer several reasons why it's so popular. Number one, it provides a sense of partial reinforcement that everybody craves. We need to be reinforced. And the thinking goes like this, I'll get lucky next time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a lure.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, some fall for the gambler's fallacy of believing that a string of losses makes a win more likely.
Yeah.
Bless your little heart if you believe that. Number three, the illusion of control causes many gamblers, whether it's at a table, what do they call it, shooting craps? Is that,
I think so. I'm not a big gambling
buying
person.
Buying a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
They believe that they have some power over the outcome, whether it's picking numbers or blowing on dice or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And fourthly, loss aversion is a major motivator. When a gambler loses money, he's motivated to keep gambling so he will recover.
Absolutely. Get back what I lost.
That which he lost.
Yeah.
Solomon had a wise word here. You know, he was a wise fellow.
He was a very wise man.
In some areas, though, he wasn't too wise in.
Yeah, yeah. We all have our bent.
Boy, he did. he said this in Proverbs 28:19, those who work their land will have abundant food.
Mm-hmm.
But those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty.
Yeah.
Proverbs 28, verse 19.
And poverty is not always money or monetary.
Not always.
Not always. It can be other things. You could have money, but you could lose your family. You could lose your soul.
Well, we're right on to say this about money, specifically. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. That word Ecclesiastes means the preacher. That's what the word means, the preacher. He said, quote, whoever loves money never has enough.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This, too, is meaningless. My, my, my. You know, the Apostle Paul warned us that the love of money
is the root of all evil.
Of all evil. So, I don't know specifically what the lady wanted me to address. I could talk about it the rest of the show, and if we had more time, I could talk about it the rest of the next show.
We've got ten minutes. But I guess a lot of people are wanting to know, just basically downright, what does God think about it? God's point of view on it? Is it wrong or is it right? And there's just, I mean, when you hear the scripture that you've read, especially like with the alcohol, it may not come out and say, don't drink alcohol.
There are principles.
It's giving you a warning for a reason.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like going through when we were out playing as kids,
yeah,
big wood pile over in the summertime, yeah, or whatever.
I don't remember playing with you when we were kids.
Well, when I was a kid, I don't know about you. I can remember my dad or my mom saying, now don't be around that. There's snakes out there.
Sure.
There could be snakes.
Oh, cobras.
Not that there is.
Yeah.
But there's a good chance that there's snakes, and it's not wise to go over there because it could be harmful.
Amen.
To you.
Amen.
So to me, it's the same thing.
Listen to mommy. Listen to granny. They know stuff.
She didn't tell me not to do it.
Yeah.
She just said, you know, you better not be over there playing around.
Absolutely.
So
it's like, don't touch that hot stove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's direct.
Come on now.
But be careful. Be careful around that stove.
You better.
You know what I'm saying?
Or your sin will find you out. Or that red hot stove will burn you.
Yes,
out.
Sir.
750,000, it's estimated. 750,000 young people have gambling addictions. That's buying a lottery ticket, playing cards, going to a casino, whatever. People between the ages of 20 and 30 have the highest rates of problem gambling. It's defined as, quote, an urge to gamble continuously, despite harmful negative consequences or desire to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It appeals to that pleasure part of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta have it, and you gotta have more, and more, and more. It's like any other addiction. People who abuse, for instance, alcohol, are 23 times more likely to develop a gambling addiction. 23 times.
Really?
An estimated 50% of those who have gambling problems commit crimes to support their addiction. According to the Illinois Institute of Addiction Recovery, there is evidence that pathological gambling is an addiction similar to chemical addiction. Winning at gambling, according to the Illinois Institute of Addiction Recovery, winning at gambling has been compared neurologically to a cocaine addict receiving an infusion of the drug.
Wow.
Man, that's enough reason not to buy the lottery ticket.
Yeah.
It starts small.
Yeah. But what about the person, though, Jerry, that says, I've been spending, you know, $1 a week on a Powerball ticket, and I haven't developed any issues with that. It's just cost me a week, and it's not that big a deal.
I was over at Super America one time.
You mean the Speedway?
I guess that's, what is it now?
It's the Speedway.
Well, it was Super America.
I understand. It was the same store, just changed name.
Yeah. And so, I was standing there checking out, and there was a grandmother in front of me who asked for so many lottery tickets, and she'd scratch them off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And, her little grandson or granddaughter was just a little child looking up at her.
Yeah.
She was teaching that child.
Yep.
Children will listen, and children will watch your actions more than what you say, although
Absolutely.
They listen to that, too. Back when we were canvassing the community, when we go back to the alcohol issue, I'm really over it.
Just can't let it go.
I'm really over it.
Don't be bitter, brother.
No, I got bitter.
Absolutely.
I walked in that little place down there that used to be across from the ball field. But they moved it over to the other side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's a lady in there buying lottery tickets. And I thought I recognized her.
What was you in there for?
I was in there to ask them if I could post this vote no
on the alcohol.
I was going to ask them if I could post that in their window. Hey, did I tell you I was serious about that or what?
See now, an alcohol store.
As Uncle Si said, hey.
So you went to an alcohol store.
Well, they wasn't selling alcohol then.
Oh, okay.
They sold lottery tickets and all that kind of stuff.
I understand that.
Anyway, while I was standing there waiting, standing behind her, I thought she looked familiar from the behind. How's that sound?
She looked familiar. I'll just leave that there.
And when she turned around, I knew her.
Oh.
And she knew me.
Uh-oh.
And she immediately dropped her head and didn't even speak, just walked out. She was ashamed.
Yeah.
She was ashamed. So, what that's got to do with where we were going with that, but the problem is people know, like, oh, I know where it was. You guys said, well, what harm am I doing?
Yeah.
You're doing harm to others. And remember something. You may have been doing it for 20 years, no problem.
Yeah.
It's like the two farmers. One was a Christian, one wasn't. On the Lord's Day, the Christian farmer didn't plow his fields.
He went to church.
He went to church. The atheist farmer, he worked 7 days a week.
Didn't slow down.
And he kept telling the Christian, come September, I'm really going to have a lot more harvest than you. And he just rubbed his face in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one Sunday morning, the man said, did you see all my harvest? I'm going out to get the rest of it now. He says, twice yours, twice what you've got. And the Christian farmer said, the Lord doesn't settle all accounts in September.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, gambling, you can do it for 20, 30 years. The Lord's patient.
Yeah.
Lord's patient. And it may take that long.
Then,
he may be giving you that much time so you'll repent.
Then there may be the argument that, well, and you have to be fair here. The Kentucky Lottery sponsors Keys money for students to go to college.
I know.
That's a good thing. For kids to get money, is what I'm saying. Not the lottery. I'm not saying the lottery is. So there's that argument. Well, I'm helping fund the Keys money.
And what about the elderly?
Yeah.
What about the nursing homes?
Mm-hmm.
I heard some advertisement the other night.
What's that got to do with the lottery?
Well, someplace in Ohio, I believe it was, they take some of the money and help the nursing homes.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm reminded, Timothy, you remind me of what the Apostle Paul said right here in the Holy Bible.
You mean the Biblos?
The Biblos. the King James Biblos.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. He says here, shall we do evil that good may come?
Ooh.
So, is it all right to do something that's wrong because a little good comes from it? By the way, I doubt seriously that much is given to these agencies. But I'll tell you what, even if it is quite a bit that they give, they keep a whole lot more for themselves.
Well, I've never been to Las Vegas. I've never been to Atlantic City. I can walk by a casino all day long. Doesn't faze me. It's like alcohol. Doesn't matter to me at all. But if you walk in and you see how elaborate, I've seen them on television pictures, those kinds of things, how elaborate these establishments are, I'm kind of thinking if that's what they're in business for, to gamble, and they've got that kind of money to spend on their place, somebody's losing.
Yeah.
Somebody's giving some money away somewhere, too. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Somebody's coming way ahead, and it's not you, brother.
And somebody's going to say, you know, well, I just do this for fun. It's all right. And, well, only the gambler, just like the drinker or the cigarette smoker.
Mm-hmm.
A lady called me this week to tell me about her relative who used that snuff for years.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got tongue cancer.
Mm.
And
took a while, didn't it?
Took a while.
Yeah.
You put that between your gum and your lip, and it just sits there direct.
Mm-hmm. On your gums.
On your gums and your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So people say, but I'm not addicted. I can quit anytime I want to. Well, why don't you? It's not doing you any good.
Yeah.
Only the gambler knows, or only the addict knows, if he or she is waging for fun or if there are, what shall we call them, insidious motives.
Yeah, deep down in the soul.
Oh, there was an old preacher one time by the name of Watson. Thomas Watson, and he said this: sin has the devil for its father, shame for its companion, and death for its wages.
Wow, that's powerful.
Every time.
Wow.
Every time, to mow this.
That is powerful.
I think so. God bless you, folks. Stay away from the lottery tickets. Stay away from the porn, and stay away from the alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to go there again, do we?
No.
We'll save that for another time.
We want to thank you today for joining us for another edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. I'd like to invite you to services. Sunday school gets underway Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. By the way, we're doing Family Bible Hour. Great time to bring your kids and learn more about the Bible. Also, Sunday morning services are at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And we'd love for you to come and be a part of it with us at the Highland Church of Christ. And thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.